I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory that way. Telling the world that Jesus saved today. Yeah, I'm in the glory that way. I'm in the glory that way. I'm in the glory that way. Heaven is nearer and the way grows clearer. I'm in the glory that way. Lift to the Father, God above today. In the glory that way.
With the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord and Father, we humbly approach your throne this morning. We ask that as we do so, that you help us to understand that we worship you with our hearts and our minds and with everything that we have within us. We ask that you help us clear our minds and worship you, not only in spirit, Father, but with the truth that's in our heart, knowing that we love you more than we can ever say, for you first loved us. Father, we ask that as we come to you this morning, that you watch over those in the congregation who are not able to be with us this morning due to illness. We know that we have several that are on our list that are in need of blessings of your healing. We ask that if it be your will, you bring them back to our fold, and that we are able to worship as a family all together once again. But if not, Father, we ask that your will be done in all cases. Father, we ask that you watch over the elders of this congregation. We ask that you give them the wisdom that they need to shepherd us, and that we might be able to understand the guidance that they bring to us and to be able to apply it to our lives and be able to serve them as they serve us. Watch over the deacons of our congregation as he takes the orders from the elders to help take care of us as well, and that we may be a help to him. Father, we ask that you watch over the leaders of this land. We ask that you give them the wisdom to be able to make competent decisions, and that they are able to help take care of the disparities that are going on throughout the land with different issues that are dividing us as a country. We also ask that you watch over the conflict that's going over in Ukraine with Ukraine and Russia. We ask that cooler heads will prevail and that the killing will stop and that we're able to take care of those who are in need of the conflict that's over there. Father, there's so many other things that need to be said. But most of all, Father, we thank you that your Son came to this earth and died on the cross for us. Father, we know that of such love we were never, ever worthy. But we know that he gave of himself freely that we might live. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the prepared minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 300.
When I survey the wondrous cross, all which I've read of glory
as New Testament Christians and followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, we are commanded to assemble on the first day of each and every week to partake of the Lord's Supper. This is a specific time we have to remember Christ Jesus, to remember Him, to remember what He did for each and every one of us. The Bible reads in Romans chapter 5, verses 8, that God demonstrated His own love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Before us, we have two emblems, the bread of life that represents his body that was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and the cup of salvation that was poured out for many for the remission of sin. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. O kind and merciful Father, we humble ourselves in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this privilege and this honor that we have to partake of this supper in remembrance of Christ Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for all of mankind. For it is in his name we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let us now give thanks for the cup. Kind, gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow this morning, God, thanking you first and foremost for your Son, Jesus Christ, who walked this earth and died on that cross and shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Father, we ask at this time that as we take up this cup, Father, that we do so, that it is in a way that is pleasing and worthy unto thee. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If anyone was inadvertently overlooked on serving the Lord's Supper, will you please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. We have another commandment, and that is to give back unto God the first fruits of our labor. When we give, we enable the good news of Jesus Christ to be spread throughout the world. At this time, let us bow and give thanks. O kind and merciful Father, we thank you for the good measures of help that you provide for each and every one of us, giving us the strength and enabling us to go out and to provide for our families. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and we give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Foot 11 this morning, we'll sing number 417. 417. We'll stand as we sing this song. 417. I am the light of the world. Walking in sunlight all of my journey over the mountains to the deep end. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Word goodbye that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and God. He is our light, Him is our darkness, ever and walking close to His side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, lighting my soul with glory divine. I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing His praises, gladly I'm walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, lighting my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine.
Sermon title to today's lesson is, How Does God Save Us? And the scripture reading is taken from the book of John. It's John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Brother Skippy Norman.
Say good morning. Truly, God once again has blessed us. He has spared our lives just one more time to come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning. If you are visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service this morning. and also those who have tuned in to our conference call as well. We just welcome you as well. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Wise eternal Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to be able to have a place that we can come to worship thee and serve thee. Now as we go into our lesson this morning, that Lord, you guide us, that we focus upon your word and things it has to say. Lord, concluding of this message, we just, if there's anything that we've fallen short of, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Give me your word, the thing that I say, Lord. You get all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also, I just want to thank Brother Gilbert for filling in on last Sunday while we were away. How does God save us? Does God draft us? Does God pick our number and declare us saved, whether we want to or not? We know the answer to that is no. When you look at John chapter 1, and the Apostle John is reflecting on the implication of Jesus coming into the world and being that true light. He is reflecting on Jesus bringing salvation and life. And one of the huge implications in John's mind is that we have the opportunity to become children of God. We can have him as our heavenly Father. We can be heirs of all creation that God has made for us. We can be adopted into his family. When you look at John 1, and basically when you look at verse 10 through verse number 13, the children of God, when you understand, they recognize him. In verse 10, they receive and believe him in verse 11 and verse number 12. And then they have certain rights as his children in verse 13. And so we might think that recognizing Jesus and receiving and believing are the same thing. They are certain similar, but recognizing seems to be internal with our minds. Receiving and believing are acts of the will and deal with our obedient action. Receive and believe have their roots in action. And so, in fact, John chapter 1, and verse 12 and 13 explain that you and I could never be part of Christ's kingdom without making a conscious and deliberate decision for ourselves. Look at verse 12 and verse 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Understand when you look at this, that you need to understand that you cannot be born a child of God because of blood. See, in the Old Testament, a Jew became a child of the covenant simply because they were born of Jewish parents. But in the New Testament, that doesn't happen
anymore. You can't coast into the kingdom on your parents' coattail. You can't do that. You can't slide into salvation because they were saved. The only way into heaven is to be born of God, and the only blood that matters is the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot, but then secondly, you need to understand that you cannot be born a child of God because of the will of the flesh. You can't decide your flesh is good enough to get you in the door. As Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, it says God's righteousness, all of our righteousness acts are like filthy rags. But the Bible also needs to understand that there is not enough money in this world to buy a place in heaven. Even if all these wealthy people, they pool all their cash, not one of them could have gotten into heaven. And they can't get into heaven. I don't care how rich that they are. You can't be born of God because simply because you think you are good enough. The only way to get into heaven is to be born of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. But then the third thing that we can see here is that you can't become a child of God by the will of man. I can't decide for you. And you can't decide for me. You can't make the decision for your spouse. You can't make the decision for your children. They got to make the decision for themselves. And so according to verse 12, the only way you could become a Christian was to have received him and believed in his name. But here's the question. The question is that all God wants us to do to be saved? The answer is no. And I know what Psalm teaches today. There are those who tell people that you can receive Jesus by a sinner's prayer. They teach people who want to be Christian to pray that Jesus comes into their heart or something like that, but it seems to have the advantage of being a quick and easy way to bring people into the kingdom of God. But I gotta tell you, there is one small problem with the sinner's prayer. And that problem is, it's not anywhere in the Bible. You can't find it in the Word of God. The book of Acts gives us examples of people who became Christians in that day. And not one of those people ever became a Christian by praying, Jesus, come into my heart. Not one of them. It's just not in the Bible. It's a man-made doctrine. And so if the Bible doesn't teach a sinner's prayer, then what does it teach? Number one, it teaches that we need to believe that Jesus Christ, yes, is the Son of the living God. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. But then also there is a vast number of verses in the Bible that says the same thing in one form or another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, it tells us God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save them who believed. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, and the jailer in Philippi was told by Paul and Barnabas, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and in your household. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, whoso believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Who do not believe shall be condemned. Yes, we have to believe he is the Son of God and that he died on the cross to save you and I, rose from the grave to give you hope. And if someone doesn't believe these things, then they are not going to divide in this army. For in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11, tells us that we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So if you don't believe Jesus shed his blood for your sins, you will not survive Satan's attack. But then here is the question. The question is that all we have to do? Just believe. The answer is no. Because the Bible tells us that part of believing in Jesus involves repenting of our sins. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. That time of refreshing may come from the Lord. That's in the NIV. In Acts chapter 26 and verse number 20, Paul says, I preach that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. When Paul preached his sermon on Pentecost, he told the believing Jews what to do to be saved. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. When you understand the word repent, to repent means you accept the fact that you are a sinner. Your life has changed. Repent means to turn around. You've been living your life without God. You've been walking away from him. Turn around and live for Jesus. And that makes sense. Because in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number, Ephesians 2 verse 1 and 2. In Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 tells us that before we became Christian, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, in which we used to live when we were followed the ways of the world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air. We were by nature objects of wrath. In Romans 5 and verse 10 says that at that time we were God's enemies. And so in order to belong to God, we have to stop living like those who are his enemies. But then the question comes, is that all we have to do? Just believe. Just repent. There's more. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 declares, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart you believe and you are justified. With your mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, this is kind of like a loyalty oath. There are people who teach that this passage means we should confess our sins. But I want you to understand, that's not what it says. It says, what are we to confess? Jesus is Lord. That's what we're confessing. Jesus is Lord. And when you and I confess that Jesus is Lord, we are declaring he owns me. Not only does he own me, he owns my wallet. He owns my purse. He owns my house. He owns my bank account. He owns my TV set. He owns my car. He owns my spouse. He owns my children. He owns everything. And that's what we're declaring when we confess that Jesus is Lord. And once you make that good confession, then you are declaring that Jesus will now own everything that you have, even the clothes that's on your back. Now, Jesus doesn't want your shirt. He don't want your dress. He don't want your car. He don't want anything like that. But making him Lord, you and I gave him the deed to all of our possession. And that's what we did. We said, Jesus, I surrender all unto you. And so this confession is sometimes called the good confession in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 12. We are confessing many times, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In fact, that's what we asked every believer to repent. That Jesus, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? We do that just before we baptize them. But then also we need to understand that in Philippians 2, verse 9 and 10, we got to, everybody, every knee is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sooner or later, everybody is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. See, God exalted Jesus to the highest place. He gave him a name above every name. And the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. In heaven, in earth, under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And I'm here to tell you, you can either confess him now, or you can confess him later. But when you confess him later, when you die, it's going to be too late. Don't wait until he come again, because by that time it would be too late. But then, is that all? Is that all we got to do? Just believe, just repent, just confess? No. There's one more thing that God asked us to do, and that is be baptized. Baptism. But understand, church, for baptism to be right, three conditions need to be met. Three essentials need to be met. Number one, there must be the right action. The right action. In order for the first condition to be met, there needs to be the right action. See, people regard baptism, many of them, as not only immersion, but some say pouring water on the head. Some say sprinkling. But what does the Bible say? The Bible teaches that immersion is the only right action. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1 through 6. Because in immersion, we die to ourselves. We are buried with Christ. We are raised to walk in the newness of life. And when you read Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, it gives us the shorter version of Romans chapter 6. And so this is an enactment on the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, the gospel message is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. So, church, there has to be the right action. There has to be baptism is an burial. It's an immersion. It's going down into the water. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. But then there has to be the right subject, a person. The Bible teaches that a person needs to do the following things in order to be saved. And we've talked about that earlier. They need to believe in Jesus Christ. They need to repent of their sins in his or her life. Confess Christ before men. Then be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then you have to be faithful to the end. Matthew 10, verse 22. Revelation 2 and verse number 10. Therefore, before baptism, the condition of faith, repentance, confession have to precede baptism. A person needs to understand, and they need to climb these steps on the stairway toward heaven. But then the third thing, there has to be the right purpose. There has to be the right purpose. There has to be the right action, the right subject or person, but then the right purpose. See, people are baptized for different reasons, for different understandings. Some are baptized to show that they are entering in ministry. And basing this on the fact that Jesus was baptized when he started his ministry. When you look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13 through 17, and Mark chapter 1 and verse 9 through 11, and Luke chapter 3 and verse 21 through 22, and John chapter 1 and verse 32 and 34, but then there are some who are baptized to make a public announcement to show that God has already forgiven their sin. And so, but then there are others who are baptized to please family members, friends, to please their teachers. But then there are others who are baptized because they think everybody is baptized. So I just might as well too be baptized as well. But what does the Bible say? The Bible talks about this found one. But there are those who are baptized for the remission, the forgiveness of sin. This is the only right purpose to be baptized. For the remission, forgiveness of sin. We see that in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 22. And verse 16. See, baptism is part of the salvation act. We have to understand that when you are baptized, when you go down in that water, there is no power in the water itself. We need to understand that. There is no power in the waters, it's just water. But understand this, the power of baptism for salvation is in the water, but it is tied to the fact that God asked us to go down in that water. It's obedience to the fact that that's what God wants us to do. And God knows that we are very visual people. Yes, we are. Communion is a very visual part of worship. The bread reminds us that Jesus' body was broken for our sins. The cup reminds us that his blood was shed to forgive us our sins. And so in the same way, God made baptism a part of salvation act because baptism helps us visualize Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ rose again the third day. It helps us to see what Christ done. And church, this is God's plan for us to be saved. It's right here. We just talked about it. And so, the question comes then, have you done those things? You've heard, but do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to make that change and repent of your sins? Confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. But then, be willing to go down in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. And then when you come up out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Then the Lord will add you. And I know what people tell me, you just go join the church. No, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. So the Lord will add you to what? His church. What church? The church that he said, upon this rock I build, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church that he is the head of. He is the Savior of. He loved it. He died for it. He's coming back for it. It's not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 and following. But then, you got to live faithfully. Faithfully unto death, Revelations 2 and 10. You receive a crown of life. Have you done those things? If not, what's stopping you? What's hindering you from obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it your loved one? Is it your friends? Don't worry about what your loved one will say. Don't worry about what your friend's going to say. But you need to worry about what God will say when you stand before him unprepared to meet him. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. If you're here and a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, rededicate your life to God. We don't know what this day is going to bring. This might be the last time, this might be the last minute that you have upon the face of this earth. Make your calling and election sure. Let us stand.
By our love. Thank you.